Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. Frederick's Faith Debate is brought to you by AllShred Mobile Document Destruction, shredding today for growth tomorrow, 1-877-2-SHRED. AllShred, they sell security. The Frederick Faith Debate is an open and honest forum for our local faith community leaders to share and discuss their views of the truth. Thomas Jefferson said that the clash of ideas is a sound of freedom, and in that spirit, we seriously wrestle with important ideas. Our hope is that through our wrestling, you will develop a better understanding of the truth about the most important issues that face us in this life. On our panel this week, to talk about the similarities and perhaps more focus on the differences between Christianity and Judaism are Pastor Jonathan Schweitzer from Crossroads Valley Chapel, Rabbi David Wiesenberg from Beth Shalom Congregation, and from Good News Presbyterian, Peter Kemeny is back. He's been on the show a couple of times before, and it's good to have him back again. And I think this is the rabbi's first time on the show, although we did have one of your colleagues, Rabbi Morris Cosman, on the show a couple of months back. So it's good to have you here.
Apparently he said that we're harmless, so...
Yeah, I don't know if you could.
That's a good recommendation.
Mic, but
yeah, apparently he said we're harmless, so welcome on.
Not sure if that's good or bad. But.
Hello, everyone.
All right, I kind of set up what the show's about. I'm going to put this in as direct and blunt terms as I can. I'll let John have first stab at this. John, you are a Christian. Would that be correct?
Yes.
Why aren't you Jewish?
You're not going to like the way I answer this, Troy.
No?
But I guess I would argue at some level that my faith is an extension of historic Judaism, and that I would be considered, and most Christians would consider themselves to be spiritual Jews, that we have been grafted into the tree that is the Jewish root, that is the lifeblood of who we are, and that, you know, that Christ was the Messiah that was promised in the Jewish scriptures ahead of time. And so I guess I would say that I'm as Jewish as they come, except for the fact that I don't, you know, watch whether or not I'm eating certain kinds of foods or necessarily participating in the festivals each year, but that I'm as Jewish as a Gentile can be. How's that?
Interesting. Okay. Rabbi Wiesenberg, I'll ask you the same thing. You are Jewish.
I am Jewish indeed, yes.
Why are you not a Christian?
You know, to tell you the truth, there isn't so much difference between Jewish people and Christian people as much as one imagines. Because the central theme of being Jewish and Christian is loving your neighbor as yourself. And the rest, as a great Jewish rabbi said, was commentary. And I'm sure Jesus would have said the same. Love your neighbor. And I believe... I was brought up Jewish. My parents are Jewish. And that's probably why I am Jewish rather than Christian. But I believe very much in the laws and the lessons of the Torah, that they bring us up to be good people, just as the New Testament brings up Christians to be good people too. And if the end result is that we love each other and are kind to each other and considerate, then it doesn't matter which religion you belong to. We have all succeeded.
Okay. Well, not surprisingly, so far, the first two people that have answered have sought to find a common ground. I'm not going to try to put you on the spot, but
go ahead,
Pastor
Troy.
Pastor Kemeny, if you could maybe find where there's not some common ground in your answer, why you're not a Jew, I'd appreciate that.
Well, you know, I do have some Jewish blood. My grandfather was Jewish, but theologically, I'm a Christian. And I would say I'm not Jewish because I can't love enough to please God. I can't obey God's commandments enough to please God. And in fact, and here I am, David, we just met, but I would say my understanding of Judaism, and I know there's a lot of variations within Judaism as there are variations within Christianity, and so I don't want to try to define a Jewish person, but my understanding of Scripture is that the Jews were saved by God's grace, and I have my Bible open to Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, and this is the preface to the Ten Commandments. Let us give a little background, and not for your sake, David, but for the listeners on the radio.
Sure.
God called the people out of Egypt. They were in bondage to the Egyptians, and God redeemed them by his grace. He brought them across the Red Sea. He liberated them from their captivity in Egypt. And then, after they were saved, you might say, God gave them the law, summarized in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. In the preface to that, those commandments, Exodus 20, verse 2, God says, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Then the commandments are given. And so my understanding of Judaism and Christianity is that the people in the Old Testament were saved by God's grace, not by their works, not by their ability to love, but they were given the commandments to show them their sin and in need of a Savior, and also to frame their lives now that they have been redeemed. Now, I would say I'm a Christian, and I'm just the spiritual fulfillment of the Old Testament. I see, as a Christian, a continuity between the Old and New Testaments. In fact, the church in Galatians 6:16 is called the Israel of God. 1 Peter 2:9, the church is called the holy people, a chosen nation or something to that effect, a royal priesthood. And so I'm a Christian because I see the New Testament scriptures fulfilling all the Old Testament types. The Passover lamb is fulfilled by Jesus Christ, whom John the Baptist calls the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Circumcision is fulfilled by New Testament baptism, the temple in the Old Testament, where God dwelt among his people, is now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. John 1 says, God made his dwelling among us. And I look at Revelation 21, verse 3. It says, now the dwelling of God is with men. And so I see a unity between the testaments. And I know I don't want to labor this too much, but one theologian back in the early 1900s said that the Old Testament is a richly furnished but dimly lit room. In the New Testament, nothing is added but light. And that's what Jesus did. And I know this is a Christian understanding of Judaism, but on the road to Emmaus, I think it's Luke 24, 27, he explained to his disciples everything that was said in the scriptures, and which is the Jewish scriptures, and the Christians would call it their Old Testament or the Christian Old Testament. And so I see Christ as the one who helps us understand the scriptures. And because I'm persuaded that Jesus is the Messiah of which the Old Testament spoke, I'm a Christian.
I think that John Schweitzer might agree with an awful lot, maybe all of what you just said.
Sure.
I'm going to let him comment on that in a minute. But assuming that John would agree with all of that, or most of all of that, Rabbi, when John says, I'm as Jewish as they come, given that he would agree with a lot of the things that Peter just said, can he get away with that? In your view, is it fair for John to say, yeah, I'm as Jewish as Rabbi David is, and
well,
in spite of being Christian?
Yes. I think, yes, to some extent. To come back as far as, let me see, what Jewish and Christianity have in common is ethical rules, like love your neighbor as yourself is a central one, but all the rules which flow from it. Mm-hmm. Now, the ritual things, mm-hmm. right, many of the ritual laws of the Bible, Christianity says are not necessary to observe. And I believe that comes from Paul, but please correct me if I'm mistaken. That's right. So what we have in common is the ethical things. So when you say, Jonathan, Pastor Jonathan, that you're as Jewish as they come, I think you refer to, you believe in being kind and loving your neighbor.
No, I refer...
I would actually say that I'm meaning a lot more than that, specifically going to Christ being the high priest that is the Lamb of God that goes before and makes atonement for my sins. So I would say that Christ has fulfilled all of the ritual aspects. And so even in the ritual aspects, I would say that I feel like again, that I'm as Jewish as they come, as a Gentile could be. Clearly, Jewish people that continue to live by the fullness of the law and the sacrificial system, which I don't think you necessarily do. I think there's some rituals you follow, but you don't follow the sacrificial system anymore. Anyways, my point.
You can't. There's no Jewish temple around, so those laws no longer apply.
Right, that's a problem. Right. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, so I would agree with the ethical element, but I would also add that there's a spiritual element as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a difference, and let me preface this, by the way, to everyone. It doesn't matter what religion you have. You're entitled to your religion, and we're not arguing about which religion is best. We're just arguing from our points of view as we see them from our own religions. And it boils down to a matter of belief. So the Christian person will believe, as you do, that Jesus is like the sacrificial lamb and he atones for your sins. And that's perfectly proper. A Jewish person sees it differently. A Jewish person believes that no person can really atone for the sins of someone else. We're all responsible for our own sins. And we can. We also don't believe. We believe very. Believe. I personally believe. I wouldn't question that Jesus lived. Not at all. But I would quote to me. He cannot be the Messiah itself. Simply because, in the Jewish point of view, from the Jewish definition of a Messiah, is that the Messiah is someone who will really bring peace to the world. And as yet, unfortunately, we don't have the peace that we desperately seek. Now, I know the Christians would be asked, well, what about that? And they would say, or most would say, but we're waiting for the second coming. He will come again. Well, then from a Jewish eye, when the Messiah comes and there really is peace, then we know that is the Messiah.
Right.
So there's a difference in view.
Now, there's a question.
There's a lot of stuff here. First of all, maybe we might get so deep into this I won't have a chance to reset in a few minutes when I normally would, so I'm going to reset now a little bit. You're listening to Frederick's Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. The voice you just heard most recently was Rabbi David Wiesenberg from Beth Shalom Congregation. You've also heard Jonathan Schweitzer from Crossroads Valley Chapel and Peter Kemeny from Good News Presbyterian. I'm Troy Skinner, hosting and moderating this discussion on the differences we've talked mostly about similarities, but I think we're about to get into some more of the differences between Christianity and Judaism. Similarities, moral foundation, which is the same, love is the goal, all of those sorts of things, adherence to the principles of the Ten Commandments and all of those sorts of things, which are really the foundation of Western civilization, certainly the foundation of this country. So all of those things are common. And even the ritual aspects, it's interesting to look at it that way, but even the ritual aspects, there is a commonality. The difference being that the Christian viewpoint is that those rituals have been fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and the Jews not agreeing on that point and saying that the rituals are either still being fulfilled or those that can't be aren't because there's not a temple. But there's at least some similarity there. But now we get to the point of where there's some differences. This show, hopefully, if it's doing its job, isn't going to ever be about trying to help people figure out what they think is better or worst, what is best, what is second best. What this show is about, what I hope that our goal in life is about, is what is the truth. And if one person says that the rituals have been fulfilled by Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and someone else says, well, no, that isn't true, it's not a question of which one is better or which one is worse. The question is which one is right. at least that's the goal here, to try to figure out which one is right. So now I'm going to throw it to Peter. What is your response it looks like you're anxious to say something. So what is your response in general to what has been said so far? I'll give you kind of an open-ended question.
David, we haven't had time to talk before going on the air as far as your Judaistic beliefs. Mm-hmm. But just from one sentence you made, you have a lot in common with liberal Protestants. Mm-hmm. Because you're saying that the most important things are love and to live an ethically upright life. And as someone who, at least I believe I hold to the historic Christian faith of, the Protestant Reformation of the 1600s, I would say I try to understand the scripture and apply it. And certainly there are areas in which I'm blind to my understanding. But my understanding of Christianity, historic Christianity, is that it's not, its essence is not love and obedience. I think at the heart of it, I see my sin and my need of a Savior. And from your scriptures, Leviticus 17, verse 11, I believe it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And so I see that I have a moral problem, and human effort cannot bring me to the place where I'm acceptable to a holy God. Someone must pay for my sin. It must be me, or it must be a sacrifice. And I'm sure you're understanding, I mean, you would have a different take on what we call the Old Testament, but my take is that all the sacrifices in the temple and the Passover lamb and whatnot, they were types that pointed forward to the final sacrifice for our sin. But I think what those sacrifices say to me is that, as Anselm, one of the early church fathers said, we have not yet thought through how serious a thing sin is. And even the Ten Commandments, they show me my sin and my need of a Savior. And so Christianity, I think the fundamental difference is that we look to Christ as one who saves sinners. We can't save ourselves like many in the, you might say, the theologically moderate or liberal Protestant church would say. We believe not just in ethics. We try to live an ethical life, but we know we fall short. We need a Savior.
I have a couple of real quick questions I want to ask Rabbi, because I'm not as well versed in some of these things as I should be. Is it, and again, can only answer these from your perspective and your understanding of a Jewish tradition. I understand that. But that said, do Jews believe in life after death?
Yes.
Okay. Do Jews believe that men are sinners, men and women, men meaning mankind, are sinners?
No. We believe that no person is perfect, or we wouldn't be human. But at the same time, we don't believe that we are born into the world automatically with a sin over our shoulders. We don't believe that the original sin, that is from Adam, hangs over our shoulders.
Okay.
We don't. We believe we're born like neutral, zero.
Okay.
Like when you come to the world, you don't have any money in the bank, you're at zero. And the way you behave, it depends if you make the money or you're in the debit and owe the money.
Right.
Now, in the believing in life after death, is there a positive aspect and a negative aspect? Do you believe that some people go to heaven, some people go to hell?
Well, there we differ from Christian belief, because as I understand it, and again, there are many different Christian beliefs according to denomination. But by and large, as I understand it, in Christian belief, if you're wicked, you could go to hell and you could be there for thousands of years, if not forever. Am I right, gentlemen?
Right. Yes.
That's right. That's not Jewish belief, oddly enough. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to bother. Hey, I can sin all I like because I know I'll get to heaven. It's okay. No, not at all. But Jewish belief is, how do you put it, relatively optimistic. And it says that no person really would go to hell for more than 12 months, 1 year. Is that optimistic? Hey, that doesn't mean you don't suffer. And by hell, it's a kind of area of suffering. I don't think we believe in quite hell the same sort of way as a Christian does. That's severe. But it's an area where we suffer for all the sins we have in this world. But we are confident and optimistic that no one needs suffer so long that one cannot eventually go to heaven, unless one has been extremely wicked. But there are very, very few of those around. You might have mentioned Hitler in our own age. Or you might mention there's certain people in the Bible whom the Jewish Talmud mentions. But by and large, we believe that every person, every man and woman is human. We're not perfect, that we do our best. And some get to heaven quicker. Some, it takes that little bit longer to get there.
Okay.
But we're confident. And every Jewish person, because of that, when one's parents pass away, one says a special prayer called the Kaddish in the memory with the hope that it helps get them to heaven a little quicker. But we always stop before 12 months is over.
Okay. What is the point of, from a modern Jewish perspective, what do you see as the point and intent of the sacrifice, the temple sacrifices, when they were taking place?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very interesting because a lot of important Jewish rabbis during the Middle Ages were discussing that, and even then, many were saying that really God didn't need the sacrifices. Well, after all, God isn't human. God doesn't eat. God doesn't drink. Right? God doesn't need these simple. A divine being doesn't need these material things. Why did God want us to give sacrifices? Because in those days, when those Jews were going out of Egypt, all the nations around were sacrificing and offering. And it would seem strange to tell the Jews, I don't need sacrifices. I just want you to be good people, keep my laws and observe, and you may pray to me. That's enough. But the people wouldn't have been able to take it because in those days it just wasn't done. They would have felt foolish or peculiar, and maybe it would have been a temptation to go to idolatry. And that's why God said, I see they're human, and therefore I want you to build a temple, offer sacrifices, because as humans, it makes you feel good and gives you a reason and a place to express your devotion. But since now the temple is destroyed, and then there are, and we're in a different age where people generally don't offer sacrifices, that sort of thing's taboo, they reason, and I personally believe that if we have a different era when the third temple is built, we wouldn't be there sacrificing animals. We will be there, going there to pray to God. Well, except perhaps on Passover, which we're going to celebrate now. Okay.
It's interesting to me that there's not just a division over the person and work of Jesus Christ, but it seems like there's a division between what modern Judaism believes about many of the things that are found in the Christian Old Testament and what Orthodox Christians would find in that those same passages. So that there's a different understanding there. Which probably center around the person of Jesus, because a Christian view is that Jesus fulfilled certain aspects and elements of what is found in the Old Testament. Interesting. That was a different answer than I would have anticipated. But anyway, John, what is you were waving your hand at me like you wanted to say something. So
yeah, there's when I've been interacting with you, Rabbi David, to invite you to be on the show, it's been very close to your heart, and something that you mentioned a couple of times, that you'd like to do a show on how to reach out to our young people. And I'm convinced that part of the reason why young people are not being reached for you Jewish rabbis or being reached for Christians is precisely because the message that is clearly taught in our scriptures, that we've watered it down specifically, like I personally feel like you just did, where instead of taking the word of God at its word, now you're saying that God gave us the law and gave us a sacrificial system to make us feel better about ourselves, and so we wouldn't feel so different from the others around us. And I'm convinced that if the truth doesn't really make a clear distinction between what is true and what is not true, and if we just all say they're all the same thing, then there's no reason for a Jewish child to remain Jewish. They might as well go be Buddhist, or they might as well go be Hindu, or God forbid, Islamic, for that matter. I mean, if they're all the same, what motivation is there for us to stay within a certain sheepfold, as it were, instead of going out? And I'm convinced very strongly that even today that there are some of your Jewish brothers and sisters that when they read the Old Testament, they really believe that God meant it as an eternal command and not as just a temporary, let's make these guys feel good. And then as society changes, we'll let them be more like society still, you know, and that as long as we encourage our young people that they can be as much like everybody else as possible, I think we're going to lose them over and over and over again.
By the way, we have just a couple of minutes left in the show, so it's going to be really time for everybody to kind of give maybe one last thought. I'll let Rabbi David Wiesman.
Why not pass the Peter first? Well, he hasn't had a turn for some time.
I was thinking, well, I wanted to give you the first shot, if you wanted to have a chance to respond to something that John just said, if you care to. Otherwise, you know, you can save that till after Peter goes. It's up to you.
Okay, very good. Thanks. Listen, we can't find out the truth. Religion isn't about truth. It's not science. The only way we'll know the truth about which religion is right is after we're all dead and millions of years have gone and bang, a Messiah, or I don't know, Savior, God somehow appears to us in some sort of a way that no one can argue about and say, this is the true religion. And until then, we don't know. It could be Judaism, it could be Christianity, it could be Islam, it could be Buddhism, it could be Shintoism, it could be a tribal voodoo religion. You just don't know. Meanwhile, we have to live on faith and we need to respect each other for our faith.
Thank you, David.
Peter?
I would agree that we can't know the truth because we're finite in our understanding unless God reveals it to us. And I believe that's what he's done in history to the Jews, in the scriptures, and as a Christian, I would say, in Jesus Christ. And secondly, my friend, I would say I don't want a religion that just tells me how to be good because I have a problem with guilt. I need a religion that shows me how to be forgiven. And once I'm forgiven, then I can look to scriptures as a moral framework for my life.
Peter Kemeny, Good News Presbyterian, thank you for being on the panel today. Rabbi David Wiesenberg from Beth Shalom Congregation, thank you. Jonathan Schweitzer, you didn't get a final word this time, but you'll have to, you can have first word in the next show to make up for that. Jonathan Schweitzer from Crossroads Valley Chapel. Thank you all for being on the show today. Again, a reminder, the Frederick Faith Debate is brought to us by AllShred Mobile Document Destruction. AllShred, shredding today for growth tomorrow. They sell security. Thanks for listening. I'm Troy Skinner, by the way, and you're listening to News Radio 930 WFMD. God bless.